from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Make a habit of it.
Bradfoe and baseball isn't boring. WEEI.
All right, that's better.
Whose walking song is this? Trivia question.
Who's what?
Whose walking song is this? Trivia question.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Let me set the scene. This is Baseball's and Boring. It's the Baseball's and Boring show. We're on with you till 6 o'clock. I'm Rob Bradford, live from Camden Yards, where things are buzzing. They're buzzing. The streets are alive after the big preseason game just next door. And now the baseball game, the players are on the field, they're warming up, they're throwing the baseballs, they're running around, they're getting ready. We got Sammy and Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast, the official Red Sox podcast of WEI, back at the Baseballs and Boring Studios. They're playing this song, they're cranking it during the breaks, they're practicing blocking like catchers. They're all kind of room for activities. It's great. What a great day. Jacob behind the glass, producer Jacob, bringing the noise with the walking. Whose walking music was this?
Mike Timlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You're really good at that with those songs.
I love the walking songs, yeah.
You're good at that. But, I've been meaning to bring this up. And people, we get the calls. We're going to get the calls in a second. 617-779-7937 if you want to join. Downtown Boots on the Ground, Ian Brown of MLB.com will be popping on up after Cora talk to see what his updates are. It's been a running shtick. Every time Rich Hill is asked about, he looks at me and asks me what's going on. And he says, what, robbing the brand? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know. Just you tell. I don't want to be the deliverer of the news. No, I don't want to be. You tell. So we're going to have that. Brian Abraham, farm director, at 5:30 as well. It's Players Weekend, but you would never know it. I think it's the most forced thing that Major League Baseball has done in a long time. Once you took the nicknames off the back of the uniforms, it was over.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
That was fun.
Because of Rich Hill.
Yeah, was it because of Rich Hill?
I mean, maybe. I mean, listen, if you could have said no to Dick Mountain, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
You could, but this whole thing this weekend, because I know that they all have the same bats. And you know why? Because none of the players ordered any of the bats, and the Major League Baseball just gave them these crayon bats.
That's what I was thinking. There were too many crayon bats.
I thought Bobby Witt Jr. had a cool one.
Yeah,
that was cool.
There's a smattering of them. But the thing is that everyone has these cleats anyway,
but
right?
But Rob, they have silly numbers on the side of their hat.
That's another thing.
I was looking at that last night. I was like, there's no way that any of these guys had anything to do with these numbers.
I was in the Cora scrum after the game last night. I was looking at the side of his head. I'm like,
Why do you have? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's you don't love it. You don't love the fun numbers.
No, I love the fun. Like, so the funny thing was, I was out getting ready to interview Zach Eflin over the Orioles dugout the other day, and Brendan Hyde comes out and he's like, "All right, guys, it's fun weekend. Let's have some fun." like this is what it's become. Like, it's just such a forced thing. And I don't want to be, I'm not old man yelling at clouds here. I like when they did the nicknames. I like creativity. I love it. I love it's going to be like when we have Baseball Isn't Boring Night at Fenway, I'm going to love it. It's going to be awesome. And congratulations to the Section 10 guys for getting their nights both at Fenway and Worcester. And let's just say that negotiations are deeply, deeply down the road for a Baseball's and Boring Night. All right?
That's going to be huge. Can't wait. That's going to be the best night of the year. September. Yeah. Better be late September, though, Rob.
Whenever we draw. I don't care when it is, as long as it's during baseball season. So I just wanted to rant about that real quick. So that's
bring the nicknames back.
Bring the nickname. I mean, that's what it was all about. The uniforms stunk.
Yes, thank you. I was about to say the uniforms were putrid.
Yes, they were ugly.
Yeah. And then they had, I forget what they looked like the first year, but then in the second year, they went with just like all black and all white.
Oh, that was even worse.
It looked terrible.
Yeah, no.
That's not fun.
Yeah. That is not fun.
Give me jerseys with nicknames on the back, and that's how you win.
Maybe the Red Sox could wear something crazy like yellow jerseys.
Here's the thing. Joely Rodriguez having Baseball Isn't Boring stickers on the back of his cleats is more impactful than anything they've done in Players Weekend. I'll say that.
No
all
argument
right?
for me, Rob.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Hey, Steve, how are you today?
I'm all right. How about you guys?
I'm great.
Doing great.
So I'm going to start by telling you an obvious comment. They didn't do enough with the starting pitchers. But it's ironic that the player James Paxton is at the center of the lack of getting anything done. And he was the guy they didn't trade last year, Rob, because I guess they were afraid of backlash. But last year at the trade deadline, they should have traded this guy and never looked back. Now that they didn't trade him, he did nothing for them after the deadline last year. Nothing. And then they lost a few players. God forbid, and these guys ascent to the major leagues, you're going to get one win out of this guy for that lousy trade that you made at the deadline that wasn't going to help you if he was helped, because he doesn't do it. This guy hasn't had a legitimate season since 2018. I mean, the guy's been junk, half season, three-quarter season, and the fact that the last two trade deadlines revolved around not moving this guy. Well, I don't know if it revolved around, but they should have moved him last year and never looked back. And they should have gone to something else.
Steve, before you go on, I'm not going to, believe it or not, I'm not going to disagree with you most of what you said. I mean, the fact is that we come away from the trade deadline. And I think that even at the trade deadline, we said this. It was like the Paxton thing is what it was. It was to help you get to the finish line. And I think that Samuel Gordo said this. This is what the Rich Hill thing. It's helping you get to the finish line. But what they needed, what we are finding out, because the other guys have taken the turn for the worse. The other guys are entering areas of workload that are getting uncomfortable, right? And so that's where, yes, and I think what they were trying to do, and I think this was sort of a flawed plan, Steve, is they said, we're going to boost the bullpen, we're going to lengthen the bullpen, and that way we're going to shorten these outings for these guys that we need rest. And you haven't lengthened the bullpen, number one, really.
Flood the zone. Football team. They're going to flood the zone. Yeah. But you know what, Rob? I think it all revolves right now around Bayo and how to see if they can actually decide what you would think is going to happen after they hit their all-time innings pitching. And that's what I think it'll be. I like the lineup. They can score at any time. I mean, they've won games of 8-9 and one hitters carry the deck. I hear the Yankees are dependent on their top big three guys. I'd rather see a lineup that can hit throughout any time. You can get power from anybody and you can score from anywhere in the lineup. I think the bullpen cannot be as bad as it was. If it comes back to where you expect it to be, it should be okay. It all comes down to my mind, Bayo and how see what they can do, see if they can get something that'll get them out of it, which is kind of not the greatest place to be.
Yeah, and Steve, thanks for the call. You know, I think that when we talk about viable playoff contenders, and I think we did this maybe exercise last week, guys, Sammy and Gordo. Like I counted 16, I said this to Kenley on the podcast, I counted 16 guys or 16 teams that could legitimately like win the World Series, which is crazy to me, right? But that's the way that baseball is right now. But in order to do that, you have to be the team that have lined up three starters. To me, that's how it is, right? Like, you have to be the team that lines up three starters, and you can be a really, really good team, but if you don't have that, you don't have a chance. Because that's what happened last year with the Rangers, with the Diamondbacks, you know, go down the list, with the Phillies before them. That's how this works. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm full of hope.
You're right. I think Texas, part of the reason Texas ended up winning that is because they had four, whereas the Diamondbacks were going, what was it? It was Gallen, Fott.
No, you had Gallen. Yeah, Gallen, Kelly, Fott. Yeah, and Mike Hazen came on the podcast. He's like, yeah, I failed because we had a bullpen game. Right. Like, and that's where you're at. And so where the Red Sox, and Steve is right. I mean, when you're the Red Sox, this is what it's going to come down to, is that, you know, whether or not Tanner Houck want to say he needs a second wind or not, he's going to have to be good in at a time where he's never had to be good before.
That's the key, though, right there, because I think if the Red Sox miss the playoffs, so many people are going to harp on the deadline. But the truth of the matter is if guys like Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford and anyone else in the rotation, and Nick Pivetta, obviously, with the decreased velocity two starts ago, if these guys wear down, it doesn't matter what this team did at the deadline. If those guys wear down, it's just not going to happen.
Well, you know, the guy, if we have to play the trade deadline game, right, the guy that the Red Sox should have gotten, if you said, I'll ask you guys, let's play this game, all right? And hold on, everybody on the line, 617-779-7937. The guy that was traded, who you feel like they should have traded for?
Lorenzen.
Okay, that's you. Who do you got?
I don't hate Lorenzen either. You could also make the argument for Martin Perez, but I know he's making real money, and I know the Red Sox ownership does not like spending it. But if they were willing to pay that, yeah, Martin Perez has been really good since the deadline.
I'm going to say Zach Eflin.
Oh, yeah. I think we had our first trade deadline show. I'm pretty sure it was Gordo. That was the first Who Says No of this deadline season. And we all agreed that would be awesome.
Because
but
you got another year, which is they freak out about. They love doing that. And the other part about that is that if Eovaldi was available, if Montgomery was available, that's what you're also looking at. Because I feel like not only do you want a guy – yeah, fine. Paxton is a guy that's going to help you get there. But you need a guy to cover yourself if one of these other top-of-the-rotation guys aren't doing what they had been doing, and you need a guy to start a postseason game.
Here's the issue, Rob, is that's easier said than done. If that's like the only hole that they had to plug, then that's something – but they had to plug multiple bullpen holes. They needed a right-handed bat. They needed a starting pitcher. There's only so many – areas you can invest.
You can make. You don't have a limit to trades you can make.
Yeah, I know. But like when you have, and I know you're going to hate that I'm going to say this, but when you have like a mid 30s playoff odds, you're not going to go all in at every single spot.
But again, Zach Eflin is under contract for another year.
I'm not even thinking Eflin. I'm thinking guys like Lorenzen, like I just mentioned. I like Perez. For me, the issue was, and Gordo's probably sick of hearing me talk about this at this point, but you basically, if you're the Red Sox, you have a boat and it is sinking. And the sinking is because of your pitching overall. It's not just the rotation, it's the entire pitching staff. And your solution cannot just be James Paxton and two relievers. Mainly Paxton is the problem trade for me. I didn't mind adding him. My issue was the fact that the Red Sox didn't add another starter on top of that, because Paxton is...
They didn't have the roster spots
not,
for this, though.
Not reliable. I know, but you can move things, right?
I think the reality of the trade deadline was... They knew that the boat was taken on water, but they didn't realize how fast. And I know it hasn't been disastrous, and they're hanging in there and everything else. But you know, there are problems here, man. Like we saw it last. You had that opener yesterday. You know, we'll see what Cutter Crawford does. Maybe these guys get right. Maybe they get their second win. I don't know.
Here's the issue.
Paxton, though, it's crazy to me. Like of all the guys who are available, you picked a guy who's 35 and has a CVS list looking injury history.
He hadn't been hurt this year. And all these other starting pitchers get traded for these huge returns, like big league players going back and forth, and you get a guy who hasn't been hurt for a kid in the DSL.
We have to take a break, but I do also want to get into like the guys that besides Paxton they get. So you get the relievers, right?
Yeah.
And so you get the relievers, and relievers, we've said it a million times. They're sort of a crapshoot. We talked about Austin Davis. We talked about Hansel Robles a couple of years ago. And that deadline, everyone, if you remember, it was you got to go out and get that Rodriguez character from Pittsburgh. You got to go out and get Kimbrel, and because he was so good, and then he was disastrous when he got traded. So you got to do that. It doesn't always work out, but at the same time, it's like, did they identify the right guys? And you have to give them some criticism if it keeps going down this road, because for what you gave up, you could have done better. Anyway, even though Nico Cavadas, congratulations to Nico Cavadas hitting cleanup last night for the Angels. All right, we got to take a break. We got to do a trending. As we said, downtown boots on the ground. Ian Brown going to tell us what's what from Alex Cora and Brian Abraham at 5:30. Farm director, front of the program, going to tell us when Marcella Meyer is coming back. All right, we'll be back.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm Rob Bradford from Camden Yards, the park that I have designated my favorite in all of baseball. Sammy and Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast, the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Go to @PlayTessie. Sammy and Gordo, what say you about my proclamation that this is the best baseball park in all of baseball?
I don't hate the take at all. I have a top five list here for me, for ones I've been to. And Camden Yards, number two.
After Fenway?
Yes.
Okay, there's Homer. All right, Sammy.
I have not been to Camden Yards, but I've never heard a bad thing about it, so I assume it's beautiful. I have a friend in Baltimore, too. I should go.
Yeah, I have a friend in Baltimore, too. It's my family.
Big Baltimore guy.
I'm a big Baltimore. I'm huge in Baltimore.
Big Baltimore.
Yeah,
Edgar Allan Poe, Baltimore and Boston.
I feel like I have to get back on the scooter at some point, and people, in case people missed it, I was tempted for the first time since landing in my face in Colorado to get on a scooter today to go to the park, and I didn't do it. I just couldn't do it. This show was too important to me. I mean, if I got in an accident, what would we do?
It's like exposure therapy.
I guess you guys would host, and it would be twice as good. But I don't know. But I love Baltimore. It used to be crazy about how many people were Red Sox fans just took over Baltimore, took over the Inner Harbor. It's not quite that way anymore. But still, it's a good time. I suggest. Sammy, you haven't been here?
I have been to Baltimore, but it was for a wedding, and I got there, stayed for a day, and left. We didn't really have time to
do
anything.
You got to see Camden. It's so good.
Well,
they made it worse with the left field. I will say that. The left field wall.
If there was only a farm director who could weigh in on his favorite park, then I wish the show would be so much better. Oh, we do. Brian Abraham, Red Sox farm director, friend of the program, joins us. Brian Abraham, are you there?
I am here. How you guys doing?
Oh, my goodness. Say hi to Gordo and Sammy.
What's going on, Brian?
What's going on?
Hello.
Okay. Not much.
All right. They want to know when Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer are going to call up to the majors. We'll get to that in a second.
You can't escape it.
It never ends. Before we get to that, as a veteran, former coach, former bullpen catcher, I'll call you coach, scout, the whole works. You've done it a lot in the great game of baseball. Give me your top five ballparks, Brian Abraham, farm director of the Red Sox. Top five ballparks.
Wow. Top five? Do they have to be in order, or can I just get five?
What's your favorite? And don't say Fenway.
Oh, I was going to say Fenway, actually.
Fenway should be the favorite.
All right. Let's take Fenway out of the equation.
Fair.
What's your favorite?
Okay, I go Camden Yards is probably my favorite, more because it's the first park I ever went to other than Fenway with my family when I was younger.
Okay.
I'd probably go Safeco. Old Yankee Stadium is definitely up there. That was one of the best and most amazing places I had ever been. It was a very different feel than the one now, but I would say Old Yankee Stadium, San Francisco, and then I'll go Rogers Center only because ex-employee cut my teeth there. So I'll say Rogers Center.
Do you think Rogers Center gets a bad rap? I feel like everyone's like, oh, you got to tear it. It's still, the hotel stinks, right? The hotel's the worst, but still, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's right in the middle of the city, a big, big metropolitan city. It's walking distance everywhere. When I worked there, I live half a mile away. I absolutely loved it. And even the improvements they made this year seem like they made a ton of awesome changes and adjustments for a little bit more fan friendly and, put the bullpen so fans can see and seems like they made a ton of awesome improvements. So I think it's up there for me.
All right. Now that we've solved that problem.
Hold on. Don't they have the best popcorn in baseball? Didn't David Price say that? Do I have that right? Why do I think that?
Best popcorn.
Possibly. I don't know if I've ever had the popcorn. I don't know if I've ever really been as a fan, but.
No, what they have is ketchup flavored. They have ketchup flavored potato chips, which are disgusting.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, they're so good. What are you talking? Have you ever had a what is it? The one that has all the flavors on it, fully loaded or whatever? It's like a New England thing.
They're called All Season.
All Season. Yeah, those are great.
They're good. I mean, my family might call in to argue. Ketchup chips are a family favorite of the Abrahams.
Oh, I had a huge. This is Alex Anthopoulos. We had a huge knockdown, drag-out fight about this. The debate rages on. One debate we have. This is the first time that we have talked to you, Brian, since you have made the promotions, which we asked about every single week, and that's Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer. I know that you've talked a little bit about this, but not on this show. Please tell us, what was the moment that you knew that this was going to be the time that these guys get called up to Worcester?
You know, like I said before, it's not just like one day kind of pops into our mind. This is the day we're going to do it. I think there's a lot of prep. There's a lot of conversations. There's a lot of different things that come into play, whether that be Major League, the AAA roster moves, whether that be whether the teams would be at home or on the road, whether the AA teams at home or on the road. So there's some logistical things that do come into play, but I think we were just at the point where, you know, we really want to challenge these guys a little bit more. You know, I've talked about them trying to reach their individual goals as players. They've reached them and surpassed them in some ways, which has allowed us to push those goals to more loftier places. So I think with all those things, kind of those guys pushing, we felt like it was a good time with a month and a half or so left in the AAA season. And we'll give them a good opportunity to get some games at bats there and playing time there until the rest of the season.
Brian Abraham, farm director of the Boston Red Sox, joins us. Why all three together?
I don't think that was necessarily the initial intention, but I think, again, you know, their goals and the work they put in best together in a lot of ways. And I do think that I would be lying if I didn't say that their ability to challenge each other, their ability to push each other, their friendship, their ability to be good teammates with each other, and them growing together isn't an important thing when it comes to building ultimately a major league team in Boston. So, while they're not necessarily lumped together by us as the big three, they're their own individual players. I do think the teammate piece, the work that they put together on the field, in the cage, in the weight room, when they're pushing each other, that's a real thing. And we felt like the timing was right, and it just so happened that we could move them together. So we took advantage of it. And it's pretty special to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, listen, it saves money on press conferences. I mean, you get to do it all in one. The last thing before I turn it over to Gordo and Sammy is Marcelo Meyer still, I believe, hasn't played since or this month. I know that at one point he was going to DH, but he didn't DH. Where are we at with his physical status?
Yeah, he's day-to-day baseball activity, trying to balance the work that he's putting in pregame with game activity. And, you know, whenever you are pushing the limits physically, there is feedback that your body's going to have afterwards. So just trying to balance him being able to perform, him being able to play at his best abilities with making sure that he's able to play for a significant amount of time the rest of the season. So he's day-to-day, again, doing baseball activity, doing work. And I think, you know, for us, not trying to push him into game action before he's ready. And as long as he's getting a lot of the development in pregame, whether it be in the cage on traject that we have in Worcester, whether it be in the field taking ground balls or running the bases, we feel pretty happy about where he is. Obviously, we want him to play in games, but I think making sure that he's ready to go and able to play every day is something that we want to do before he gets in there.
It's his hip or back or butt or something. What is it?
Yeah, it's a lower back.
I want to be. I heard that the podcast I did with him was catching like wildfire in the front office. Everyone loved that podcast, right? About the
pregame
talk.
A lot of talk. Yeah, a lot of talk around the water cooler about that one.
A lot of per diem talk.
We need an answer.
He's hoarding his per diem. That's what we know about Marcelo Meyer. But go check that out. Baseball's and Boring. We had to sit down with Marcelo Meyer. He answered all the tough questions. All right, Sammy or Gordo.
Okay, so here's my question for you. Christian Campbell, a.k.a. Barry Bonds, as they call him, he's still in Portland, didn't get the call with the big three. What does he need to show you guys to get that call to AAA, and is that on the table for this season, or is that not on your guys' radar to this point yet?
I definitely think it's a possibility. One of the big things, he's been playing a little bit more shortstop, and with Marcelo gone, you know, when Marcelo was banged up and now that he's gone, he's been able to play shortstop a lot more. He has the unique ability to be versatile and play really well at a bunch of different positions, which obviously we value the versatility. We also value the ability to play those positions really well. So when Marcelo was there, shortstop was a little bit harder to come by. So really just getting more reps there. But I think, again, he's definitely wouldn't rule AAA out of the question this year. He just like the other three, has pushed the limits, has exceeded what we had expected, and he continues to push himself to improve, and we're really excited about where he is currently.
Go ahead. Is that Sammy got one?
Yeah, so my question, you alluded earlier to, on top of having the skills and the numbers to warrant a promotion to Worcester, the big three, as we like to call them, you mentioned that they also have to have the intangibles to play in Boston. I want to know, what are those intangibles that you guys look for, and how do you instill them in these young players?
So that's a really good question. I mean, some of it we hope that our amateur group and our pro acquisition group is able to unlock or bring to the table when we acquire these guys, whether it be via draft, whether it be international signings, whether it be via trade. So we're hoping that some of those are already there. But I would say consistency, hard work, the ability to handle failure, the ability to make adjustments and be open to making those adjustments. And I think that comes down, you know, while in the minor leagues, we don't necessarily push winning, a lot of those intangibles, a lot of the work that's put in, a lot of the success that players have on the field ultimately lead to winning. So winning is something that is important, but it's not necessarily the driver of the work. But I would say, you know, these guys challenging themselves to fail, I think, is a really, really big one. Our training environments are incredibly competitive, whether it be velo machines, whether it be, you know, command sides, whether it be velo training, whether it be bat speed training. You know, these guys are pushing themselves to failure, to struggle, but ultimately get better. So when the game happens, that ultimately will hopefully be the easy part. So I think that is a really, really big one, the willingness to challenge themselves and be uncomfortable in order to ultimately be comfortable in the long run, because no one likes to fail. No one likes to struggle in front of their teammates. But I think when guys are able to do that and challenge themselves so they do get better, where they're facing a velo machine struggling the first day, and a couple days later they're driving the ball pull side in the air pretty hard, that's the progress we're hoping to see. And I think our best players show that the most.
So we joked at the beginning about asking about the big three getting the call up to the majors. But last year we saw Sidon Rafaela get called up to AAA. It was a little bit early. I think it was like in June. And then gets the call up at the end for the cup of coffee. Is there any chance that any of these guys could get that cup of coffee at the very end? Or are you guys firm with these guys in AAA till the end?
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit above my pay grade. I would say we're really focused on them in AAA right now, and I think they are as well, staying where their feet are and doing the best they can, improving as they currently are. And you know, if a situation like that comes up, I'm sure they will be ready. But I think focusing on AAA, focusing on improving day to day, focusing on just being better baseball players overall, and when their time is ready or when their time comes, they will, I'm sure, be ready to answer the call and help the major league club.
All right, last one for me, Brian Abraham, farm director of the Boston Red Sox. Obviously, the Major League team is taking on water a little bit in terms of pitching, starting. You got a couple guys down there who seem to sort of be on the cusp and develop, but also the importance of developing in AAA seems the priority, and that's Quinn Priester and Richard Fitz. So, two-part question. Number one is, where do you see them in their development in terms of how close they are to potentially contributing to the Major League team? And also, how important will Rich Hill being in Worcester be to them?
I think both of them have, you know, areas to improve upon. Both of them have similar priority goals, which is to maximize their fastball velocity. You know, I was at the start yesterday with Quinn, and he threw, I think, 46 pitches in 5 innings, and he popped out at 97, and he was sitting 96, and he had a quote after the game about how, since he's been over here, that's been a focus, and it showed how important it is because he's been able to get outs and stay off a barrel. So for both those guys, I'd say that is the focus. They both have secondary offerings that can be effective, but I think when you bump up their velo, it's a lot more effective, and they'll be able to get outs in the strike zone. I think having Rich there, knowing Rich and what he's been able to experience as not only a baseball player but just as a person, I think is going to be incredibly valuable. The work that he puts in between starts, the understanding of opposing lineups, just handling business and getting better. I think it's such a unique case because he has had to prepare himself for a big league season multiple times at different times of the year. And I think his ability to have a routine, his ability to be consistent, his ability to stay focused on what he needs to do to have success out on the mound, it's something that I think he'll be able to show our young pitchers, and we're fired up to get him there. Obviously, the goal is to help the Major League team, but for however long it is, I know he's going to be excited to be with these guys, and he's going to be an awesome add to our Worcester staff.
Have you got any update in terms of what that looks like? I know that he's trucking back from Cooperstown, but you know, it's, you're saving on all kinds of hotel bills because he doesn't have to stay in one. He can just drive from his house. You got any updates or idea of what that's going to look like this coming week for him?
We expect him to be on the road trip, and we're kind of still planning out, you know, what it will look like in terms of pitching progression. But we expect him to go on the road trip, and like I said, we're excited to have him.
All right. Well, Brian Abraham, farm director. Anything else going on? You got Little League going on. You got, what's going on in the Abraham household? I always care about them because they're huge fans of the Baseballs and Boring brand. They're part of our family as well as yours. Everything good with the Brian Abraham family?
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's good. Everyone's good. We were in Worcester this past week. School starts in a week and a half, I believe. So took my son to Worcester for a couple of days, and you get to rub elbows with some really good baseball players, which is a pretty special thing to be able to do. But hockey season starts, and, you know, my daughter is doing dance, and, you know, we're busy. We're busy.
Well, listen, there's no better parent in the world, and what street cred they all have because you once threw in the All-Star Game Home Run Derby. So congratulations. Congratulations. You've done a lot in your life among that as well. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you'll come back next time I text you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate it.
Take care, Brian.
All right, we're going to break down that interview. We're going to downtown boots on the ground, Ian Brown. We'll pop by to give us what happened with Alex Cora. We got one more segment left. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Nothing, a walk-in song for any pitchers, you guys know?
I don't think so.
No?
It literally was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, is this a walk-in song for anyone?
That wouldn't be a good one. No, that's Gordo. That's Sammy of the Playtesting Podcast. I'm Rob Bradford. Baseball's in Boring. Last segment, we have downtown boots on the ground, Ian Brown here. But before we get to Ian, tell us what's what with Cora. You know what I was surprised about? A couple things about that interview with Brian Abraham. Number one, a little surprised about Christian Campbell clearly going to see AAA at some point. Right?
Yeah, definitely right? Feels like that.
And then I did not expect him to acknowledge the Rich Hill thing. I got to be honest with you.
Like acknowledge that the signing had happened?
They haven't announced it.
And you're right.
And he laid out the whole plan for this week.
I feel like it's like a...
he's hopping right on the road.
This is like a casual signing. Major League Baseball is like, all right, come on. Well, we know you're on the Red Sox.
In fairness, when the Milton Little League Twitter account releases a statement, it's let it be said, let it be done, right?
Let it be said, let it be done.
But yeah, so anyway, Rich, in case you missed it, Rich Hill is evidently going the road with Worcester for Norfolk, which to me tells me he's going to pitch sometime in that series. So get right to it. Let's go.
Yeah, no time to waste.
No time to waste. Speaking of no time to waste, we got to get right down to downtown, boots on the ground, Ian Brown. Ian, welcome to Baltimore. Ian's fresh, by the way, fellas. Went to the football game today.
Oh, really?
Is that on? Hold on. What do we got? Is he on?
Is he in there with you?
Yeah, he's in, of course.
Now we got a hot mic.
All right, okay.
Yeah, little Ravens-Falcons today.
Little Ravens-Falcons.
Yeah.
You got great seats.
Great seats. Unfortunately, both teams decided to play nobody. So no Lamar Jackson, no Penix, no Kirk Cousins, no Derrick Henry. But it was fun just to have that nice view of the game.
No Penix.
Yeah, not even Penix.
Not even.
We saw is it Taylor Heinicke? Yeah, we saw a lot of him.
You got the big Taylor Heinicke ticket.
Yeah, nice job.
All right. All right, Ian, you were down at Cora. What do we got?
Yeah, I think the big news, Rob, based on last night, anyone who watched last night's game, is that Justin Slayton is going to throw one more bullpen and up and down on Monday, and then go right to a rehab assignment from there. And it's going to be a short one. You know, Cora had that look in his eyes today, like, you know, we can't waste any more time with this. This bullpen is just killing them right now, night after night. They need Slayton back. They need Hendricks back. Hendricks is pitching tomorrow in Worcester. So this bullpen is just in shambles right now, Rob. Kenley is Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin, who didn't pitch great last night, but those two guys are literally holding this bullpen up by themselves right now.
Oh, they definitely. I mean, this has been such a underrated thing. They need Slayton so bad, and really. Ian, you go back to that series when they came out of the All-Star break, not having Slayton and Martin and having a bad version of Zach Kelly, all of that was just, it was like the death blow to this team.
Yeah, the Zach Kelly massive slump was about the worst time thing that's happened for the Red Sox all season. I mean, how many games that they've lost since the second half has he been a part of? You know, just not being able to pitch. I feel bad for the guy. He's a great guy, but he's just he's in a very bad slump right now. He actually pitched well last night. Surprised they only I think he got two outs last night, and then that was all.
Yeah. Anything else from down there?
Just that Tristan Casas, he is a full go now. You're not going to see him getting maintenance days off. Of course, that as of today, he's not even on the trainer's report anymore. Interesting talking about the decision to send Nick Sogard down. He just likes having these three catchers now with the way they can maneuver this against lefties. And tonight you have Gasper off the bench if you need an emergency catcher. And they said Sogard, when he goes down, they want him to work more on the situational stuff, that pinch hitting, pinch running, stuff that he might be used for if he comes back in September. But overall, they were impressed by Sogard in the couple weeks he was here.
Gordo and Sammy, you got any questions for Ian?
Are you surprised at all about the Casas thing? I feel like every time the guy comes back from a long-term injury, it's like you get a day on and then you get a day off. And especially with a lefty on the mound, I was definitely expecting him to be down today.
Yeah, no, not at all. I just think that they realize what time it is right now, guys. If they're going to make the playoffs, there's no more screwing around. There's no more rest days. This is it's a full go for everyone right now. And Tristan, they think he's good to go, so they'll use the team days off to get him time off. Maybe every now and then against a real tough lefty, you might see him off. But you know, when they got rid of Dom Smith, that showed you they don't really have another first baseman on the roster unless you count Romy Gonzalez. So that shows you that you know, he's going to be posting every day.
Showed a lot of confidence in his health, in the ribs.
Yeah. I mean, he's just gonna play through it. Whatever he feels, he's going to play through it. Casas was very good talking to the media yesterday. He didn't want to talk about any gunshot wounds or being stabbed.
No knives.
No knives. He's ready to play baseball. And he said, if I do have any pain, that's no excuse for how I perform. So I really liked his energy yesterday, and his. I thought he did a great job in his session with the media yesterday.
Sammy, you got anything for Ian?
Yeah, very general question. You mentioned the Red Sox are well aware that they don't have time to wait. They got to start winning. But I want to know, what's the vibe like in your estimation? Is it an anxious group right now? Is it an excited group, somewhere in between? What's your feeling there?
Somewhere in between. I mean, I wouldn't say anxious. I would just say this bullpen is definitely, this bullpen thing is weighing on everyone because it's so hard for them to win a game right now. So it's almost like you feel like if the offense doesn't put up, you know, five runs or more, you know, how are they going to win? When was the last, I can't even remember the last time they won like a 2-1 game. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't remember a game recently that they've won 2-1.
Definitely not in the second half.
Yeah, or 3-2. I mean, they need to start winning some games like that because those are the games that playoff teams win. And just to see this whole bullpen, so many guys in this bullpen in a slump at once, it's been hard to see. Luis Garcia, I asked Cora last night, you know, what do you do with him? He said, you just keep going. So I guess we'll keep going. But, yeah, it's been the bullpen is really weighing them down. If the starting rotation could get on some kind of a run, that would lessen the burden on the bullpen.
All right, Ian, most importantly, we had talked about ranking ballparks.
Yeah.
Okay? These guys had their rankings. Now, Sammy hasn't been to Camden Yards, so he's automatically disqualified since I put Camden Yards as my number one. And maybe it's because this is where I had my wedding and my glorious in-laws gave all my friends a lot of money and tickets to come to the Camden Yards experience, where Tim Salmon and Jeffrey Hammonds were playing against Scott Erickson and all. It was just great memories. I love Camden Yards. I always have a sweet spot for Camden Yards. What Ian Brown? Ian Brown, who has been to every ballpark, yes?
Yeah, I've been to all of them.
Every one of them. What do you got?
This is number two for me right now. San Francisco is number one. Seattle used to be number two, but now that the press box is like in left field, that drops a peg. It's about the whole experience for me, work and just the ballpark itself. But yeah, I love this place. I always like coming here. Press box is great. You got a great view. It's easy to get around. It's a great walking city. You don't have to be taking Ubers all over the place. I'm a big Baltimore fan.
Everyone loves that ballpark, and it's deserved. It's so good.
It's great. I gotta, okay, so I always get made fun of for this take. I have been to the Oakland Coliseum a lot because I used to live in that area. It's obviously not a nice place. However, is it not worth seeing just to see it, to take it in, like how bizarre it is?
You gotta see it once.
Yeah,
you
better get there quicker.
I'm disappointed that I won't be able to.
I do want to add, though, real quick, the one thing that is a downer about this park now is this left field, how they pushed it way out.
Yes.
That ball Raffaella hit last night, I mean, that's like on Lansdowne Street at Fenway.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they had the reasons for doing it, but it's not good baseball.
It's just
it was
what
for
baseball
Grayson
needs.
Rodriguez.
It's just what baseball needs, more deep flyouts.
I think what we will do is I think we will have a Baseballs and Boring Roadshow for the last Oakland A's game in Oakland this year. I don't think they end on the road.
Didn't they upcharge those tickets to like $100 a pop?
Did they? Oh,
they did something crazy.
The parking lot's
scratch
be
that? Scratch that idea?
We'll do the second to last game.
Yeah, but also like the Utah Street, how they like Willy Abreu's home run, they mark it right away. I love that. Good job. All right, speaking of good jobs, Ian, excellent job.
All right, always great to be on with you, Rob.
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's always good to see his smiling face. I will buy you drinks later tonight for payment. I would buy you guys drinks if I could, but I'm just going to have to say thank you, Sammy and Gordo. Excellent job. Play Tessie at Play Tessie, the Play Tessie podcast, the official podcast of Red Sox podcast at WEI. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bravo.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, producer Jacob Lasner, excellent job as well. Now let's go. Let's turn the page. We're getting ready for first pitch. I'm doing the pregame show. That's coming up next. Thanks, Brian Abraham. We'll see you next time.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Nothing a walk-in song for any pitchers, you guys know?
I don't think so.
No.
It literally was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, is this a walk-in song for anyone?
That wouldn't be a good one. No, that's Gordo. That's Sammy of the Playtesting Podcast. I'm Rob Bradford. Baseball's Boring. Last segment, we have Downtown Boots on the Ground, Ian Brown here. But before we get to Ian, tell us what's what with Cora. You know what I was surprised about? A couple things about that interview with Brian Abraham. Number one, a little surprised about Christian Campbell clearly going to see AAA at some point. Right?
Yeah, definitely feels like that.
And then I did not expect him to acknowledge the Rich Hill thing. I got to be honest with you.
Like acknowledge that the signing had happened?
They haven't announced it.
And you're right.
And he laid out the whole plan for this week.
I feel like it's like a...
he's hopping right on the road.
This is like a casual signing. Major League Baseball is like, all right, come on. Well, we know you're on the Red Sox.
In fairness, when the Milton Little League Twitter account releases a statement, it's let it be said, let it be done, right?
Let it be said, let it be done.
But yeah, so anyway, Rich, in case you missed it, Rich Hill is evidently going the road with Worcester for Norfolk, which to me tells me he's going to pitch sometime in that series. So get right to it. Let's go.
Yeah, no time to waste.
No time to waste. Speaking of no time to waste, we got to get right down to downtown, boots on the ground, Ian Brown. Ian, welcome to Baltimore. Ian's fresh, by the way, fellas. Went to the football game today.
Oh, really?
Is that on? Hold on. What do we got? Is he on?
Is he in there with you?
Now we got a hot mic. All right, okay.
Yeah, little Ravens-Falcons today.
Little Ravens-Falcons.
Yeah.
You got great seats.
Great seats. Unfortunately, both teams decided to play nobody. So no Lamar Jackson, no Penix, no Kirk Cousins, no Derrick Henry. But it was fun just to have that nice view of the game.
Penix.
Yeah, not even Penix. We saw Taylor Heineke. Yeah, we saw a lot of him.
Ooh, you got the big Taylor Heineke ticket.
Yeah, nice job.
All right. All right, Ian, you were down at Cora. What do we got?
Yeah, I think the big news, Rob, based on last night, anyone who watched last night's game, is that Justin Slayton is going to throw one more bullpen and up and down on Monday, and then go right to a rehab assignment from there, and it's going to be a short one. You know, Cora had that look in his eyes today, like, you know, we can't waste any more time with this. This bullpen is just killing them right now, night after night. They need Slayton back. They need Hendricks back. Hendricks is pitching tomorrow in Worcester. So this bullpen is just in shambles right now, Rob. Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin, who didn't pitch great last night, but those two guys are literally holding this bullpen up by themselves right now.
Oh, they definitely – I mean, this has been such a underrated thing. They need Slayton so bad. And, yeah. And really – Ian, you go back to that series when they came out of the All-Star break, not having Slayton and Martin and having a bad version of Zach Kelly, all of that was just, it was like the death blow to this team.
Yeah, the Zach Kelly massive slump was about the worst time thing that's happened for the Red Sox all season. I mean, how many games that they've lost since the second half has he been a part of? You know, just not being able to pitch. I feel bad for the guy. He's a great guy, but he's just he's in a very bad slump right now. He actually pitched well last night. Surprised, I think he got two outs last night, and then that was all.
Yeah. Anything else from down there?
Just that Tristan Casas, he is a full go now. You're not going to see him getting maintenance days off. Cora said as of today, he's not even on the trainer's report anymore. Interesting talking about the decision to send Nick Sogard down. He just likes having these three catchers now with the way they can maneuver this against lefties. And tonight you have Gasper off the bench if you need an emergency catcher. And they said Sogard, when he goes down, they want him to work more on the situational stuff, that pinch hitting, pinch running, stuff that he might be used for if he comes back in September. But they were impressed by Sogard in the couple weeks he was here.
Gordo and Sammy, you got any questions for Ian?
Are you surprised at all about the Casas thing? I feel like every time the guy comes back from a long-term injury, it's like you get a day on and then you get a day off. And especially with a lefty on the mound, I was definitely expecting him to be down today.
Yeah, no, not at all. I just think that they realize what time it is right now, guys. If they're going to make the playoffs, there's no more screwing around. There's no more rest days. This is it's a full go for everyone right now. And Tristan, they think he's good to go, so they'll use the team days off to get him time off. Maybe every now and then against a real tough lefty, you might see him off. But, you know, when they got rid of Dom Smith, that showed you they don't really have another first baseman on the roster unless you count Romy Gonzalez. So that shows you that you know, he's going to be posting every day.
Showed a lot of confidence in his health, in the ribs.
Yeah. I mean, he's gonna play through it. Whatever he feels, he's going to play through it. Casas was very good talking to the media yesterday. He didn't want to talk about any gunshot wounds or being stabbed.
No knives?
No knives. He's ready to play baseball. And he said, if I do have any pain, that's no excuse for how I perform. So I really liked his energy yesterday. And his. I thought he did a great job in his session with the media yesterday.
Sammy, you got anything for Ian?
Yeah, very general question. You mentioned the Red Sox are well aware that they don't have time to wait. They got to start winning. But I want to know, what's the vibe like in your estimation? Is it an anxious group right now? Is it an excited group, somewhere in between? What's your feeling there?
Somewhere in between. I mean, I wouldn't say anxious. I would just say this bullpen is definitely – this bullpen thing is weighing on everyone because it's so hard for them to win a game right now. So it's almost like you feel like if the offense doesn't put up you know, five runs or more, you know, how are they going to win? When was the last – I can't even remember the last time they won like a 2-1 game. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't remember a game recently that they've won 2-1.
Definitely not in the second half.
Yeah, or 3-2. I mean, they need to start winning some games like that because those are the games that playoff teams win. And just to see this whole bullpen, so many guys in this bullpen in a slump at once, it's been hard to see. Luis Garcia, I asked Cora last night, you know, what do you do with him? He said, you just keep going. So I guess we'll keep going. But, yeah, it's been the bullpen is really weighing them down. If the starting rotation could get on some kind of a run, that would lessen the burden on the bullpen.
All right, Ian, most importantly, we had talked about ranking ballparks.
Yeah.
Okay? These guys had their rankings. Now, Sammy hasn't been to Camden Yards, so he's automatically disqualified since I put Camden Yards as my number one. And maybe it's because this is where I had my wedding and my glorious in-laws gave all my friends a lot of money and tickets to come to the Camden Yards experience, where Tim Salmon and Jeffrey Hammonds were playing against Scott Erickson and all. It was just great memories. I love Camden Yards. I always have a sweet spot for Camden Yards. What Ian Brown? Ian Brown, who has been to every ballpark, yes?
Yeah, I've been to all of them.
Every one of them. What do you got?
This is number two for me right now. San Francisco is number one. Seattle used to be number two, but now that the press box is like in left field, that drops a peg. It's about the whole experience for me, work and just the ballpark itself. But yeah, I love this place. I always like coming here. Press box is great. You got a great view. It's easy to get around. That's a great walking city. You don't have to be taking Ubers all over the place. I'm a big Baltimore fan.
Everyone loves that ballpark, and it's deserved. It's so good.
It's great. Okay, so I always get made fun of for this take. I have been to the Oakland Coliseum a lot because I used to live in that area. It's obviously not a nice place. However, is it not worth seeing just to see it, to take it in, like how bizarre it is?
You got to see it once.
Yeah,
you
better get there quicker.
I'm disappointed that I won't be able to.
I do want to add, though, real quick, the one thing that is a downer about this park now is this left field, how they pushed it way out.
Yes.
That ball Rafaela hit last night. I mean, that's like on Lansdowne Street at Fenway.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they had the reasons for doing it, but it's not good baseball.
It's just what
for
baseball
Grayson
needs.
Rodriguez.
It's just what baseball needs, more deep flyouts.
I think what we will do is I think we will have a Baseballs and Boring roadshow for the last Oakland A's game in Oakland this year. I don't think the end of the road.
Didn't they upcharge those tickets to like $100 a pop?
Did they?
They did something crazy.
The parking lot's
scratch that. Scratch that idea.
We'll do the second to last game.
Yeah, but also like the Utah Street, how they like Willy Abreu's home run, they mark it right away. I love that. Good job. All right, speaking of good jobs, Ian, excellent job.
All right, always great to be on with you, Rob.
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's always good to see his smiling face. I will buy you drinks later tonight for payment. I would buy you guys drinks if I could, but I'm just going to have to say thank you, Sammy and Gordo. Excellent job. Play Tessie at Play Tessie, the Play Tessie podcast, the official podcast of Red Sox podcast of WEI. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bravo.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, producer Jacob Lasner, excellent job as well. Now let's go. Let's turn the page. We're getting ready for first pitch. I'm doing the pregame show. That's coming up next. Thanks, Brian Abraham. We'll see you next time.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.